Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. For the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about cars, and you're welcome to join us. It's a car show. My name's Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street and Indian School, just south of Indian School on 16th Street. And you're celebrating.
Good morning, Mark.
50 years.
50 years, Mark. Yep. It's been I'm a second generation owner. My dad started in a Chevron service station on 20th Street in Osborne, which is about a half a mile from where we're at right now. And we've been in that general area for 50 years. And my dad is kind of semi-retired, and he still comes in though, and he still drives customers home in the afternoon, and drives. Me crazy.
I was looking for that. It's no different than my kids. No different.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you know, he just turned 83 here this year, and
Go ahead.
Okay, he just turned 83 this year, and you know, I think he's getting more mellow with age.
Okay, I can give you a little bit more of him, and how he still comes in.
Yeah, still comes in and takes care of. He does a lot of driving for me. Like he'll give customers a ride or pick them up.
Okay.
He works about 5 hours a day, and it just gets my mom a break. I think more than anything, I'm doing her a favor.
Yeah. And besides that, all the really good shows are on after lunch anyway. You know, those TV things. You know what I mean? Anyway, 602-508-0960. This is a paid programming, but we have nothing to sell you. Okay, we're here to talk about your car. So if you were told that your Scookulator valve is bad and the bill is $1,144.55, then we can talk about that. Scookulator valve, have you ever heard about it?
Yeah, I've seen a few of them.
That was a word somebody coined 100 years ago, and Scookulator valve, and no one ever has identified what it is, but it's a funny name for a valve that doesn't appear in your car.
Yeah, right, I mean, exactly.
Somebody kind of named it that way, but it's not the correct terminology. So 602-508-0960. We can handle tire questions, maintenance questions. This is what I was told. But the ones that we can really help out is symptoms, and this is what I was told to fix it, because that's kind of an important consideration. The fix has to match the symptoms.
Absolutely.
It's difficult otherwise.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you also got the problem where the repair doesn't match the symptom. So I have a terrible vibration, and this is a stupid example. Terrible vibration in the seat of my pants at 60 miles an hour, and he wants to flush the cooling system.
Yeah.
So there's that's an obvious disconnect, but there's some of them that are the tie goes to the runner kind of thing.
Well, it's like, you know, people come in and they got a bad vibration, and they want to do an alignment.
That's where I am a firm believer, and I know you are too. It's our job to weed that out right at the front counter.
Yeah, absolutely.
That has to be done at the front counter, because that's the recipe for the disaster. My husband said to do an alignment. The next question has to be, why? You know, what does he see, feel, or why does he think that? Well, I don't know. Well, could you give us his first name and his phone number so we can call him? I mean, we just need to be both on the same page. Yeah. And inevitably, I'm going to be gracious. 50% of the time, there is a disconnect between what they want us to do and what the symptom they want us to fix.
Well, it's definitely when we get phone calls with estimates, 9 times out of 10, I always ask, why are we doing this?
Uh-huh.
And when I find out why we're doing it, they're asking for the wrong thing. They're getting a price on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So we have to educate them. And you're absolutely right. That's our job at the front counter, is to make sure that we send them down the right path.
And I've had a list since 1988 of the best car repair shops in Phoenix. These are guys that I have their cell phone numbers, like your dad. I've known him for 30 or 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
And it's guys that have been in business that are good, honest, dependable. I know their wives. I know their kids. We've all talked about having our kids in the business and firing them. How many times have you fired your kid, your son, Mark? Oh, about every other week. I mean, he's actually on standby duty more than when he was younger, of course. Now he's a little older and he's a little smarter. Plus, he's a little bigger.
Yeah, he is a big kid.
Yes, I don't know where that came from, but nevertheless, it's that kind of a situation. It's our job to kind of filter that minutia and figure out, get and drill down to this, because like you said, it's alignments fix everything. Anything to do with anything, the alignment fixes it, and so many times it has really nothing to do with it. We had I didn't, not we. I had an email, and I asked him if I could call him, and I called from a blocked line, but he gave me his cell phone. And really what it was is the air conditioning was cycling on and off.
Oh, wow.
And but it's a shutter created by an alignment problem. No, it's a shutter. I'll agree to that, that by turning the compressor on and off because the Freon level's low. So if we pull the dipstick, and there is no dipstick for Freon, as you well know, we pull the dipstick and it says add a quart or add a pint or add a pound, then you put that in and then all of a sudden the problem goes away. How does the air conditioning work? Oh, great. You know, gosh, why don't you bring a by and let's go take a ride? Don't do it on Monday morning or Friday afternoon, but I'll go or I'll sign somebody to go with you and you demonstrate the problem to them. But you cannot have them for more than 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to drive to, it'll only do it near Anthem, then we're not coming. We're not going with you. And I've had that. Have you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's been some weird problems where they're out of town and climbing a hill, a certain hill that does it, and it's so far away. But we won't take in a car with a vibration or a noise without driving with the customer first. We fixed the wrong noises before, and that is embarrassing. You know, I mean, we had this most obnoxious noise that we thought the customer wanted us to fix. Well, we fixed it. Well, that noise had been there ever since she owned the car. Mm-hmm. So there was a little noise that was very, very faint that she was hearing that she wanted us to fix.
Mm-hmm.
So we fixed the wrong noise. And so from that day forward, we just, that was years ago, we made a policy that if a customer comes in with a noise or a vibration, we go for a ride with them automatically.
And they have to be able to demonstrate the noise and the vibration.
Yeah.
And it's really, nobody can fix it till we can feel it, see it, hear it, smell it, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of those kinds of things that are in the customer's best interest. The unfortunate part is that the message is being tainted because even today you get phone calls like we do. How much is an alignment? How much is it to pack my front wheel bearings? When was the last time we had that question?
Long.
Yeah, and folks, the reason why is the front wheel bearings in cars in the last 10, 15 years have sealed been bearings. Sealed.
Sealed bearings, yeah.
And so when they go bad, you have a knuckle-cracking sound, you have a vibration on the steering wheel, you have and a clunk as you turn left and right. So you have different symptoms. So to pack your wheel bearings, oftentimes, and I think this happens a lot, grandpa calls son in Connecticut and describes the noise, and son says, I think you need your wheel bearings repacked. And then the grandpa calls the shop and says, I need my wheel bearings repacked. And so I would suggest that most of us will talk to you at the front counter and open the hood with you and talk with you for free. But when we start getting in the car and going on a 20-minute test drive so you can demonstrate the noise, there's going to be charges associated with our time on that. But talking at the front counter and looking underneath the hood is typically something that we can afford to do for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just want to make sure that we're addressing the problem that you're really having. We don't want to address the wrong problem. And then we don't want to waste our time looking for the problem that we can't find.
It's embarrassing. Like you said, you fixed a problem that they didn't even know they had.
Yeah. Well, and she knew the noise was there, and she just had it since noon. She just thought it was normal. And it wasn't normal. There was a problem, and we fixed it. But there was a little noise, and it was really hard for my guy to hear it, actually. And when we went for a ride with her, and we heard the other noise, we're like, oh, okay. So then we fixed that one. But yeah, it is embarrassing when you fix the wrong noise. So,
but there has been times, and people won't believe this. So I'm going to throw the time. I'm going to describe it, and you tell me whether you've ever been. We've put three or four guys in the car.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
we absolutely. Put three, and then we move them around.
Yeah.
So I'm going to drive, and I'm going to put passenger front, and then two guys in the back. So now we have four people in there. So we all have, and then we drive it, and if I'm good, I make it happen. And so I go, all three of you got a snapshot of that? Okay, good. Let's all switch places clockwise, one rotation.
Yeah.
And then we all have to agree that it's from the right rear.
Because noises travel. It doesn't matter where you're sitting in the car. You know, if you're sitting in the front seat, you hear it on your side, and the person sitting on the passenger seat hears it on their side. So noise travels all the way through the car, and you're absolutely right. The only way you can really find it sometimes is put a few people in the car and put them in different spots.
And have them agree. The noise and the vibration, that's kind of the ones we're looking at, the squeaking and the chirping and the clunking. Those are pretty easy to figure out. I think I'll tell most people what I tell our customers, and that's this. When you have a clunk, then both of you drive the car with your feet flat. At least of the drivers has his left foot flat on the floorboard up front, the firewall, the back side of the fire, and the passenger does too. Then they switch, make it happen, and then switch places. And if you both agree that the clunk's on the passenger front, bingo.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. We'll figure it out.
Well, not only that, for us to pull that off, approximately, give me some kind of a window on diagnostic time. Two guys driving the car together for, let's say, how many minutes would you think it would take them to come back?
Probably 20, 30 minutes.
And I was thinking the same thing, 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just depending on the severity of the noise and how you have to happen. And do you, we had a really nice, an old customer of ours says, you have to go to McDonald's, you have to turn right into the parking lot, then you have to make a hard left to go into the drive-thru. Okay.
And all your employees are like, I'll do that one. Yeah. I'm going to McDonald's to get food.
Or they'll say, are you buying, ma'am? You know, we'll go with you, but you're buying. 602-508-0960, the phone number if you have a car question, a car problem. I think right now what's going on is we're all really bathing in repairs.
Yes.
There isn't anybody that's really slow. But when it does get slow, then the claws are going to come out. And we're going to have people in our industry that are going to create the perception that something needs to be done. Stuff that I've probably never done, stuff that you've never even get thought to, all that kind of stuff. It's those kinds of repairs to clean your scoculator valve and flush your transmission twice instead of just once, and on and on and on. So there's all those kinds of things. And then, of course, I think what's coming back too is engine flushes. And I've always been bothered by that. I saw a machine the other day that was for sale that flushed the engine. So you drain the oil, and then you use this flush to flush the engine, and then suck it out of the drain plug hole. My question is how are we getting all the trash that we supposedly are removing from the engine? How are we guaranteed we're getting it out the drain plug hole?
Yeah.
That's a tough call.
It's a tough call.
It's not going to be anything you're going to see at my shop, but it's kind of like, I think most people perceive it as an engine flush. You're going to clean the inside of my engine and that's good. I'm not quite sure I've ever seen an engine fail because the inside of the engine was dirty, other than particles of metal that when the engine came apart. So it's kind of like you get trash after the motor gives up the ghost. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, the phone number to call in if you have a car question. Mark Salem and Dave Martin. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto. I have a repair shop in Tempe, but this isn't about my store. It's about you and your car problems. 602-508-0960. Action Auto Supply is up at Deer Valley and I-17. I've known Tom since 1983. The reason I tell you this information about shops that I recommend that you patronize is because I've known these guys a long time. I've known them a very long time. I know they're honest, they're dependable, they know right from wrong, and they're not going to let some technician BS them into believing that you need a whole bunch of work when you really don't. So those of us that have been around the block and have a little bit of gray hair, like the two sitting here today between Dave Martin and Mark Salem, we just kind of know when a technician decides to blow a little smoke up our skirt, so to speak. So at Action Auto, northwest corner, I-17 and Deer Valley is a good place to go. And try them for an oil change if you like them. Good. But they're there and they're honest. Let's go to the phones. Jim, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. I guess I'm the third one in the group that's got a little gray hair here this morning. So
there you go.
I'm calling you. Pardon me?
Yes, that's okay. You can have gray hair when you call in, too.
Okay, I'm calling you from a suburb of St. Louis, and I used to listen to you all the time when you were on the air here on KMOX.
Uh-huh.
And, we really miss you. There's never been anybody like you. You know, we've had a few on here, and they've come and gone, and they weren't what you were, you know. So I listen to your program all the time, your radio, on your podcast.
Yeah.
And really enjoy it.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you. Today, what's broken?
How much did Mark pay to say that? I want to know.
Actually, nothing is broken, but I do have a question. I really appreciate your knowledge on oil, and I really enjoy the discussions that you have on your program talking about oil and filters. Okay. And I got a question on marine oil. I've had a boat. I'm 72 years old, and I've had a boat since I was 25. And I've got a boat now. It's got a 454 engine in it. It's MPI. And I've always used the MerCruiser 2540 oil, which is that's the weight they recommend. And I was just wondering, because I know you said that there's like three manufacturers that make oil. Is there a difference in the marine oil over the regular oil you'd put in your car?
No, but let me explain the difference between the two. More than likely, your motor is pulling lake water out and running it through the engine and sending it out the exhaust. Am I close?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. It's an IO.
Okay. So we don't have a thermostat, and we can't control the water temperature. Now, remember, water boils at 212. So in an engine that your wife drives and you drive, then when the engine temperature gets to 220, the water turns to vapor, and then the vapor is sucked out of the engine by the PCV valve and sent out the tailpipe. Forget the oil. You can use anything you want in that Mercury motor. It's not going to know the difference, and neither is anybody else. You want to use a 1040, use a 1040. You want to use a 2050, use a 2050. But I would stick with the top-end 40 number. So maybe a 2040. I don't think you're going to find that in a name brand. But a 1040 would be appropriate. I don't want to go past 40 because that motor is not going to ever heat or get to operating temperature, which is 220. It's just not. Not in lake water. So I would put a 1040 in it, and that's all I would do. And I would run it up every once in a while and run it across the lake for, 10, 15 minutes at wide open throttle to just get it as warm. We need to go through heat cycles, and the biggest problem with boat motors is they never, ever attain the heat that we need them to, which is north of 220, and sustain that for any length of time. But, yes, I put a 1040 in it.
My boat's a 2000 model, and it's, like I say, it's MerCruiser, and it does have a thermostat in it, and my temperature gauge runs about like 172 to 175, and I think from what the manual says, that's just about what that calls for.
But in every other application other than your boat, that big block Chevrolet is calling for a 220 running temperature. And here's the difference. Your boat is almost 20 years old, yes?
Right.
Yeah. 20 years ago, Fred Flintstone still drove around with rock tires on his car. So it's this simple. In the old days, when your dad and my dad, when your dad and friends of mine were in the car repair business, we were doing valve jobs at 50, 60,000 miles, and the motor was trashed long before 100. Yep. Long before 100. We have cars today in our fleet that have 200 and 300,000 miles and haven't been opened up yet. Yep. My truck's got 130,000 miles and hasn't been opened up yet. The difference is the oil and the engine temperature. If we have a lot of water in the oil, we turn the oil to mud, and then the engine ends up destroying itself from the inside out. Today we got cars that run 220, 230, and even 240, and that's okay with me, but we're just getting the water out of the oil. So you could do whatever you want, but it's the information I'm giving you is retroactive. It takes into consideration what you got that's a 17, 18, 19-year-old motor and a boat. So if I were you, and I don't know that there's a I don't know if we have a thermostat that'll control it at 170. 160? Is there a 160 thermostat?
I don't know.
It'd be easy enough. Take the top hose off at the thermostat housing at the front of the manifold and see if there's a thermostat in there. So,
I know there's a thermostat in there. So
okay. Well,
we do run it. I mean, we run it. Pretty long. We boat in Arkansas. We live, like I said, a suburb of St. Louis, West St. Louis County. And we go down to Arkansas about every other week. When we run it, I mean, it might be a 45-minute run where we're going, So, I mean, it gets up, it gets warm. But, normally it runs, like about 172, 175. And I didn't know if there was a difference because on the Mercury, of course, they can put anything they want on there. I realize that. They say it's got a different additive package. It fights more corrosions, corrosive stuff since you're on the water, yada, yada, yada.
Right. All right, well, let me address that. I've built multiple quarts of oil. And sometimes when you're building oil, and I was in the laboratory, I was part of a group, and we're going to make a quart of oil. And I remember distinctly that he took a quart of oil off the shelf, and we ran it through a series of tests. And let's pretend it was 10, but it was more than 10. And it passed every single test 10. Then he took a small screwdriver, and he dipped it in an additive package, and then he dipped it in the quart of oil and stirred it. So basically what he did was is he added extra something, and that SOB failed.
Really?
It failed. And so the additive package is an important part, but I can assure you Mercruiser's paying somebody else, and that oil is made by somebody else. There's no such factory as Mercruiser. But again, you ask me my opinion, I'm telling you, I'd use a 1040, and I'd run the heck out of that guy as much as I can, but your 45-minute trip's up to Arkansas, now you're not going up there to drink and gamble, are you?
Not gamble, maybe the other one.
Well, God bless you, and thank you very much for the kind things that you said, Jim. Thank you very much.
I've got one other quick question for you if you've got time.
You better be quick.
Okay, I'll be real quick. I talk fast. So after I winterize it in the wintertime on my first startup in the spring, I normally, make it where it won't start where I can crank it up. I keep cranking it until my oil pressure gauge shows that it's got oil pressure, then I'll start it. A good idea or bad idea?
I don't do that to any of my hot rods that I have today. I just hop in, hit them with some ether, get it idle or a little bit above. Oil pressure comes up. As soon as the temp goes up, then I stick it up into a high idle, open up the garage door, and walk away. So I don't do what you do on some vintage cars that have older motors than what you have. But thanks very much, Jim. 602-508-0960. There's 5 lines available. Gil, our engineer, our director, and my immediate supervisor will be answering the phone.
All right.
And Gil's going to say, hi, would you like to talk to Mark? And if you say no, then he's probably going to say, why the hell did you call here? So anyway, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and we'll talk to you. 602-508-0960. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street, just south of Indian School. And Mark Sadelman will be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street, just south of Indian School, is sitting here next to me. He's a good guy, and in spite of what his wife may say about him every once in a while, he's a good guy, and I like him. And my wife's the same way. She just left, and she goes, why don't you just cut it a little closer? I said, honey, it's 9:02, and I don't go on the air till 10. I know, but I worry about you. Okay, we'll go shopping, and it'll be okay. And take that gift card I gave you and use the heck out of it. She says, it only had $12 on it. I said, somebody gave it to me, honey. Anyway, let me tell you, we're going to go to the phones real quick, but let me just take us some business. Auto Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for automotive services, and Chuck has owned it and operated it since 1982, and I've known Chuck since the late 60s. I've been around, and so has Chuck. So if you're in Sun City, and if you say, Mark, what's the best auto repair shop in Sun City? I must confess, Auto Dynamics is the one I'm going to tell you. They're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. I know that they've been around. I know they have experience, and I know that they have a family running the operation. And so I have all the faith in the world you'll be treated fairly at Auto Dynamics. Dennis, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
No problem. It's another gray-haired guy here. So
it's gray-haired guy day.
Yeah, sure. Why not? And this one I have is a third-gen 4Runner.
Okay.
I bought it about 6-7 years ago. It had about 180,000 miles, and since that time, I've got her up to about 260. During that time, I did a lot of suspension work, upper lower control arms, ball joints, rack and pinion, timing belt, radiator, a whole bunch of stuff. And it runs really good, but I've heard that particular engine, 3.4, not the 3.0, the 3.4, somewhere around the 300,000 mile range needs a little help from the standpoint of head gaskets being redone. So one of two questions, obviously I'm probably going to do it because I'm not going to spend $35,000 on an electric car. Got this one, and it runs perfect. These is, if you just do the head on that car, is that enough, or are you really kind of shortcutting it from the standpoint of doing the lower?
Well, first of all, we're both shaking our heads. We disagree with this head gasket replacement. I've never been, and you'll chime in, I've never been an advocate of changing any part on a car that's working fine because somebody, and especially now with the internet, somebody's decided they need to be replaced. There's somebody out there who had a big fight with somebody about a head gasket, and he talked to all of his buddies, and they said that you should have changed those anyway at 300,000 miles, blah, blah, blah. If you came into my shop, I wouldn't even bid it. I wouldn't even bid it.
I wouldn't either. And one of the things that we'd said at the beginning of the show, if there's no symptoms that equal the repair, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah, and I'll answer your question. Head gaskets is replacing the gasket that contains this explosion in the cylinder. It has really nothing to do with the bottom end. When you need a head gasket, you're going to have water in the cylinder. You're going to have an abnormal amount of consumption of coolant. You're going to have an engine miss, and you're going to know you got a head gasket. Or if it leaks oil, you're going to have oil on the ground. But as far as the lower end is concerned, it's like a light bulb. You're going to be driving down the road, I think, and at 2:31 and 10 seconds, everything is going to be fine. And at 20 seconds, you just lost the lower end. And that's the way it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. But I am not of the opinion that you should change your head gasket at all. I think that's a bad waste of money.
Yeah, and those vehicles, they're really good vehicles, and they're really sought after. And I've got customers that look for them and try to find them. And they're really we've not seen any head gasket problems.
All right, let me change the question real quick. When you go into the lower end, I'm asking this Dave Martin guy next to me. Hey, when you do the lower end or when you do the top end, what reason are you going there for?
Well, either a coolant in the water or. Oil leaks or
knocking,
or
spun a rod bearing, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So the reason we go into those areas is for a symptom and a problem. But to go in there it doesn't appear in any owner's manual in the world to replace the head gaskets at this time. But I will tell you this: 99% of the motors that we repair have been damaged by the nut behind the wheel, and every one of them has either been overheated or run low on oil. So if you don't overheat it, get up north at 250, 260, and you don't run it low on oil, that thing will do 500,000 miles. Okay?
Okay, yeah, I'm religious on oil. I still believe in a 3,000-mile. I don't care. Oil's cheap. Engines are expensive.
You're right.
My transmission I do every year, even though it says you don't have to, because there's heat on here. And I do it every spring, so it makes it through the summer. So I'm crazy about taking care of it.
Well, like Mark said, just keep the cooling system up to top notch, because that's the biggest problem that we see in the summertime. Usually the first month of the hot weather, if the cooling system is not up to where it should be, it can cause problems and the car overheats, and then you do have a head gasket problem.
And the head gasket, the overheat is, how many times in my life have I heard, I was only a half a block from home, or I knew I could make it home.
Yeah.
So that's the death knell. But anyway, got to run, Dennis. Thank you very much. That's a great question. Will, I got to take a break because the engineer is really mad at me because I missed the last two time frames. So, Gil, I'm giving it back to you, 13 seconds late. And, Will, you stay right there. We'll get right with you. Minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street and Indian School here in Phoenix. Mark Salem every Saturday here from 10 to 12 talking about cars. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, Nate at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road is a friend of mine. He is Mr. Diesel. I would like to believe that I'm somewhat skilled in diesels, but Nate's better than I am in every way, shape, or form. So if you want to talk diesel, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, and they have a website 24 hours a day, and they sell parts, and they talk about the different things. They're at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, but Nate will answer your call. He told me that last week when he was on the air, and I'm going to take him at his word. So that's Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Will, you're first. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. Just calling today to give you an attaboy. My wife and I love your show. We learn so much. Just the common sense that you just gave to that gentleman, don't tear out apart your engine if there's nothing wrong with it. I really appreciate that, and I wanted to give you a attaboy to Action Auto. We live 50 miles north of Phoenix up in the Mayer area, and heading to Phoenix for a dental appointment last Thursday, and AC went out right about New River, pulled into Action Auto about 3 in the afternoon, and they diagnosed I needed a new AC system, And we're heading for a week vacation, and can you guys get it done, like, tomorrow? And sure enough, they got it done the next day, Friday. We picked it up, and we're good to go. And we've used Action Auto and Kurtz in North Phoenix, so if anybody's looking for a good, honest shop, they are perfect. So thank you so much. You are a national treasure, and we're all blessed by God, Mark, for your program. And you're promoting Mr. Martin here. If I lived in his neighborhood, I'd have no hesitation to go visit him.
I
have one question.
Sure.
Tell me about the AC, like, system. My Hondas, like, when they go bad, the compressor, I guess they shoot out metal parts, and so you gotta like replace the whole system, condenser, and my friends always kind of give me the shag eyeball, like somebody's ripping me off or something, and I don't doubt it at all, but. Are all systems like my Ford F-150? I don't think I had to change everything. I just changed the compressor. So what's the difference between these different AC systems?
Okay, that's kind of easy. When the AC compressor starts to go bad, it rattles, and when it's rattling, it's eating itself up from the inside out.
Grinding.
Okay.
And it's grinding itself to pieces, and it begins to pass that metal. Because we have a suction line and a discharge line. So the two hoses that go, one's pushing and one's sucking. And so all of a sudden we fill the system full of metal. The car comes in, the nose of the compressor is welded to the clutch assembly. We know that this thing was driven until it was dead. And of course the compressor, the flush, the evaporator, we have to flush the evaporator, if not replace it. We have to flush the condenser, if not replace it. We have a whole bunch of work on our hands. On the other hand, Grandma Moses pulls in her Honda, and she goes, I hear this clicking noise, click, click, and then it blows cold, and then it blows hot, and stuff like that. And we look at it, and we go, okay, well, the nose of the compressor is leaking Freon. We're going to replace the compressor, but we're not going to flush anything because you didn't drive it till it died. and it's Honda, Chevy, Toyota, Chrysler, Dodge, everybody.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah, just it depends on the situation. It just depends on how the thing died or what really happened. Like you said, when they're leaking, it usually doesn't throw metal throughout the system, and usually that's not a problem.
And there's oil that circulates with the refrigerant, and if we have a refrigerant leak, we're typically going to be down a little on oil. And if you just let the compressor cycle on and off and on and off, and you're driving to Tucson and back, you're going to damage the compressor.
Yeah.
It's going to come apart on you. So it's how many times are you having to do a complete system with metal throughout of all the AC services and repairs you do? Is that 10%? What number?
Well,
approximately.
If you're going to include the services in there, yeah, it's probably 10, maybe 20%.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think at the most, a fourth of the cars that come in with AC concerns are going to need the full flush because it's full of metal. But 75% of the cars are not going to need that. So I'm going to go a little higher than you, but that does answer your question, Will. It's really a matter of how it failed, like Dave said.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, because my wife and I, we did hear some grinding, kind of like you were talking about, so we should, like, take it to the shop, like, right away to get checked out.
Yeah, turn off the compressor, and then, yes, and then, and really, you know how we're going to check it out? We're going to open up the hood, and we're going to tell you to turn on the air, and we're going to put our hand on the compressor, and we're going to go, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it was nice. Did you notice that he took some of the blame along with his wife?
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Yeah, you can tell. He's a good guy. All righty. Thank you very much, Will. Anthony, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hi. I got a 2012 Jeep Wrangler. It's got limited slip differential in the back.
Okay.
It's got an open differential in the front. I got 85,000 miles. I'm thinking about changing the gear oil in there.
Okay.
So my question is, do I use two different gear oils because it's two different types of differentials, or do I use from what I understand, the back requires a friction modifier
because
it's limited slip?
You could use both of them. I'd use the same fluid in both the front and the rear. Here's the deal. The front doesn't have a clutch, and so it doesn't care.
Right. So, yeah, that's my question. Because all the places are recommending the same full synthetic gear oil with the friction modifier for the front and the back,
yeah.
Even though the front is actually not a limited slip.
I think the information you have is agrees with both of us shaking our heads.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's better for you because it's only one fluid.
Yeah.
And you don't have to buy two. And you know, and then here's what happens. The wife crawls underneath, checks the rear differential, sees that it's low. She puts in the front differential fluid. You wake up. Then there's a fight. And then there's a divorce. Okay? So you got one fluid inside and how'd you like that story?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. One fluid is fine. And you can always upgrade the engine oil, the differential oil, the transmission oil. You can always go up in it in quality, and the price will tell you that there's a difference 99% of the time. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
You betcha. Don, you're up next. How can we help you?
Mark, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
I was going to ask. I was tried to hear it last week, but I know you talked about flushers. I got a 2015 Buick LaCrosse with 64,000 miles on it, and I'm thinking about getting the brake fluid flushed, but do I need to?
Well, how many miles are on it?
64,000.
Dave, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Does the brakes need to be done?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had the brakes done on the car?
No.
Okay. I don't know what the fluid looks like, but I mean, I would look at the fluid first of all and check that.
We do have the ability to check the moisture content in the brake fluid. That's the real flush mechanism right there. But you can get 20 guys to look at brake fluid, and half of them are going to condemn it, and half of them are going to say it's fine. But I agree with you. I want to look at it. He's never done brakes,
yeah.
So the system's never been opened.
Right.
And so that's kind of good, but it's a six-year-old car. But how many miles? 15,000?
No, 64.
Oh, 64. I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. 64,000. I think I know where you're going, you sly dog. You're saying, why don't you wait for till we do brake work, and then let's do the flush in tandem with the brake work.
A lot of times that's what we do.
Okay.
But it depends on what the fluid. Like you said, there's a way you can check the moisture content in it, and I would probably check it. And see where you're at there, and then make that decision.
You can call a couple of the auto parts store and ask them if they've got some way to check the moisture content of brake fluid. But here's what you have to do. You have to check your brake fluid, and then you have to ask them to check virgin brake fluid in front of you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you want. And you know what? In shops, that happens, and we're happy to do that. Okay, we're going to go get a brand new bottle, a pint of brake fluid, .3, .5, whatever. Open it up, test it right in front of you, and test yours as well. That's a really nice way to instill confidence in your customer anyway.
Absolutely.
So I'm with Dave. I think you're saying let's just do the flush when we do the brakes. Consider, and the only thing that bothers me is the 6 years old. The 64,000 miles doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But right. Who drives this car, you or your wife?
Me. I drive it.
Okay. Because I was going to, you should have said her and let her be the hero, okay? I was going to say something really nice like, gosh darn, she might be the woman, 64,000 miles and never done front brakes on it. She deserves, you know what, I'm going to say it anyway. She just deserves to go to dinner tonight. Yeah, but you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Okay, I appreciate the help.
All right, you bet. That's 64,000. That's a big number.
She's only driving a little over 10,000 miles a year on that car. That's pretty good.
Well, but he's driving it,
and
if I gave you that, if I gave you that mathematical thing, okay, I got a husband here and a wife here. Okay, the husband guy's, he sounds like he's in his 40s, maybe 50s, or I don't want to hurt his feelings. 30s, 40s, 50s. So you say, who's going to wear out the front brakes more, the woman, the husband, or the wife?
I'm not answering that.
Well, I will. It's going to be the guy 9 out of 10 times. It's going to be the guy because we're the ones that cuss and yell and scream and try to school everybody on the road about how to drive like us.
My wife does tell me how to drive.
I know, but you wear headphones when you're in your van. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. Brake fluid flush. I just got to write this down so we know who we talk to him about. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. And when we come back after the top of the hour, we're going to do another hour of car talk, and you're welcome to join us. 602-508-0960. Let me tell you about another really good shop. I told you about Strictly Diesel, but Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is in Mesa. I've known the Thompson family and the Vivian family since 1960s, early 70s. Brian and Thelma are derivatives of the Vivian and the Thompson family. They started gas station businesses a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago. Those two Brian and his wife Thelma, they've been around gasoline at the dinner table their whole lives, and they've been there. I'd love to find other shops in and around Mesa that I could send you to that pass the Mark Salem filter, but I can't. So if you're in Mesa and you're looking for a good repair shop, one of them that I believe is to be is one of the top shops in town, then Thompson's Auto Repair, they've been at that location. It's Stapley, it's Main Street just east of Stapley, so Stapley and Main Street just east, and they've been in that location since 1970. So they've been around a while. So if you're in that area and you're in Mesa, then, and you're looking for a shop, it's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. You have a 50-year anniversary coming up.
Yep, and we're going to kind of celebrate it on the 28th of October 28th at between 11:30 and 1:30. And we're going to have some food there. We're going to have actually the live band's going to show up. And
is it country western or jazz or who's doing
the good oldies?
Okay, good.
The oldies. They're going to play a little bit of a kind of variety, but it's all older stuff.
Okay,
and. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So if
your dad's going to be there?
My dad will be there. My mom probably will be there, too. She was there for the 40th, so she'll be there for this one. And it'll be great. It's a great event, and we're really excited, and we're looking forward to it.
Okay, give us the date and the time again.
Okay, it's October 28th. It's a Thursday, and it's between 11:30 and 1:30.
Okay.
So it's kind of a lunch hour deal. So if you're in that area and you want to get out for lunch and come – have lunch on us and listen to a little bit of live music, and we're going to give away some door prizes. We've got some fun stuff to do and good prizes to give away. So it'll be just great. It's just a great customer appreciation.
Okay, now you'll have to talk to your dad about this, because 40 years ago when we had these kinds of parties, it involves dancers and a lot of booze.
and it
involved a piece of plywood on the hoist, the underground hoist that you bring up about 3 feet, and you'd bolt the piece of plywood to the hoist, and there was people up there dancing on those.
Yeah.
It's not going to be one of those.
No, they've told me that that's not good.
That's 50 years ago.
I know. Things have changed, and not that I like it, but things have changed.
Like you're preaching to me about changing things. Renee tells me all the time, you're Fred Flintstone compared to the rest of society, Mark Salem.
My wife is my barometer for offensive behavior or doing anything bad. She lets me know that that's not good.
Oh, my whole family's that. You know, it's Mark says something and everybody rolls their eyes in synchronization. Every once in a while a bad word will come out of my mouth. A bad word in their vernacular, but something that you probably hear on the internet every day. But no, you're right. Way back when your dad was in the gas station business and I was in high school, your dad was always a real calm guy.
Yep.
Compared to the Harry's and the Jim's and the Whitey's and some of the other gas station guys who were a little louder and more boisterous. But I'll tell you what I remember about your dad. Everybody, when he talked, people quieted down. And he didn't have much to say, but he did say, he'd say something at those old gas station days. And he'd say stuff but he wasn't a rebel rouser, but everybody respected him and everybody wanted him on their side. And of course, he sided with the gas station guys against the Mobiles and the Chevrons and Shells and all those guys. So anyway, we'll be back 602-508-0960.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem, and with me is Dave Martin from Martin's Auto. He's at 16th Street, south of Indian School, been around a long time, been a friend of mine for a very long time, and certainly a good shop. Or he wouldn't be here with me. So, Dave, thank you for spending your second hour here with me.
Good morning,
and
Mark.
We're going to go on the phones real quick because we've got people to help through the break. So, Rick, you're first, and Sam, I'll get to you next. Rick, how can we help you?
Good morning, Mark and Dave.
Good morning.
I had a question about, I had bought a 2002 Thunderbird, you know, the new retro style body with convertible.
Uh-huh.
the other night I was going to put the top down, take it for a drive, and I started it, started right up. The top wouldn't go down. The left window won't go down or up. The brake lights won't work. And there's a few other things that won't work with the vehicle. And that's just out of the blue. It's mint. It's only got less than 50,000 miles on it. I'm wondering, you think it's, I tested the fuses, but I don't know how to test, like, relays and such.
Okay. Did the
all of it quit at the same time?
Yeah.
And they're not on the same circuit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind
of
weird.
It isn't. One fuse, it runs all of that. There's too many things going on here, but the top and the window are going to be connected.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to drop the top with the windows up. And so typically when you go to bring the top up, we're going to, the windows are going to drop at least some before the top is activated, usually. So
yeah.
I don't know if the window and the top are related, but the rest of that stuff is just weird.
Yeah, the brake lights and stuff like that. I mean, it almost seems like in the back end of the car, there's something in the wiring.
Excuse me, and the headlights won't work.
Oh, the headlights won't work either.
Yeah, but it starts and runs
beautifully.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it's got some. It's going to have. I mean, I think at that particular point, you start at the battery and work your way towards the electrical systems because you have the brake lights. The key is in your pocket. The brake lights still will work. And your cigarette lighter will work, and there's dome lights will still work, and then there are other circuits that need the key to be on. So you have.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a one half of the circuit is live all the time, and your headlights is one of those, so are the brake lights, and then the others are ignition operated by the key switch. So I think I'd go to the battery and work my way from there. I'd start at the two terminals, I'd start at the cables, and
does the turn signals work?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Maybe there's something going. A lot of the stuff goes through the turn signal switch. I'm wondering if I don't know about the top. That's not a kind of a thing that we play around with too much. But a lot of that stuff will run through the turn signal switch. You might want to check that.
And they're on two different circuits because turn signals and park lights are on two different circuits.
Right.
So I when you have an electrical storm like you're having, it's still a good idea to start at the battery. So pull both of the cables, clean them up really good, make sure they're clean and dry, put them back on.
Yeah.
You should have a voltmeter. The battery should have somewhere between 12.8 and 13 volts in it. It should start up.
Yeah, like 13.1 or something.
Okay. And then it should have a half a volt or so above what you check the battery before you start it, and the alternator should then add a half a volt to that. So if it's 12.8, it goes up a half a volt. So how much is an electrical systems test at your shop?
$70.
Okay, and that's pretty. It's going to be between $50 and $100 at just about everybody's shop, and that there's a good chance that the electrical systems test will tell us what circuit is down, and that makes it kind of easy to go from there.
So
especially in his case,
right? Absolutely, yes. Yeah, you need to test a few things. There's absolutely no way to figure that out other than that.
That's the best
we
can tell you.
I'm really unfamiliar with electrical. So you guys have a system as you can test this?
Sure.
Yeah, all of us old gray-haired guys, this is something that is akin to us, like brushing your teeth in the morning and stuff. I mean, we've done this so many times, and you walk outside with a wire brush, a couple of wrenches, and your digital voltometer, and it doesn't take long to kind of look at all the different circuits. And your ignition, your fuse panel has two halves to it. One half is ignition, so it's only going to – the radio. The radio doesn't work until you turn on the ignition. But the brake lights are on the other side, which is 100% power all the time. This is easy. But anyway, $70 at his store, $70 at my store, and there's a lot of stores that are going to be $5, $10 one way or the other. But that's what you might end up with, okay?
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, you guys. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you for telling. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know something, Rick? You can email me, mark@marksalem.com, with what it was so I can learn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Tell me what it was, okay?
I'd be curious, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Rick. Sam, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I got a original owner vehicle, Sabre, 2003, and it was having, like a month and a half ago, starting problems where I'd have to keep my foot on the accelerator the pedal to get it started. Okay. And it was so bad, especially when it was hot, to continue going and put in, before I put it on drive, I had to keep the foot on the accelerator. And so I narrowed it down to the fuel regulator because it's original, because I took the vacuum line off and it was smelled like fuel. So when I replaced it, actually I tipped it upside down and fuel came out of the vacuum port.
Okay.
So I put a new one in and it's working better, but when I turn the key, I still have to put my foot on the pedal to start it.
Okay.
But it will stay started now.
All right, well, that's good. You don't have what it takes, but we need a fuel pressure gauge on the system, and we need to know what the spec is. So
okay.
You could have something wrong with the pump and the fuel or the fuel pressure regulator. So the question is did the fuel pressure regulator go out on its own, or did the pump cause the fuel pressure regulator to go? Because he's got gas on the wrong side of the diaphragm. So we have to fix
okay.
that. All right, so you fix that. The next question is the fuel pressure on your car within tolerances? Now, I don't know if the auto parts stores will do that, but
I don't think so.
I don't think they're allowed to open up fuel systems.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, it's flammable stuff. I don't think they'd let them do that.
There's a port on the – I have a fuel pressure gauge I can put it on. There's a port on the fuel rail.
Okay. All right, just get on the internet and find out what your fuel pressure, your static pressure is supposed to be. There's a lot of cars are different, so don't just go to Amazon or go to the guru on the and he says 18 pounds. Well, you better make sure that your numbers are right. But I'm thinking this isn't a fuel pressure problem because I think it's a throttle problem. I think it could be a TPS. I think it could be an idle air control motor. I think there's a lot of other things this could be for him having to give it gas in order to get it running.
Right.
And so you don't want to send it to the shop and try to dictate the path of the repair because that's really a bad deal. And most of us won't even let you do that. So in your particular case, I think what's fundamental here is you got a fuel pressure regulator that was bad. You did it, and it made it better, but you said twice or more. You have to give it gas in order to start. A fuel injection car doesn't care about what you do with the throttle.
Yeah.
And so so I think that there's a relationship there. Do you have a check engine light on when you drive it?
No codes. And okay. The thing is, the fuel pump is pretty new. It's like a year old Delphi.
Yeah, but why are we having to touch the gas on a fuel-injected car to get it running? We've never had to do that before.
Yeah. I checked.
Okay, here's the deal. The question is a hard question because all three of us are sitting here shaking our heads going, we don't know the answer to that, but whoever finds it and fixes it can then answer that question.
Right.
Why does he have to open up his throttle in order to get it to run? So we're just out of guesses. So,
okay. Good. Thank you.
All right, Sam. Good luck to you. And you know what, Sam? Same thing. Mark, with a K, Mark at MarkSalem.com. When you get it fixed, and I'd like to know what it is because I think the key here is it's a 20-year-old car or almost a 20-year-old car, a 19-year-old car. It's a GM car. Fuel pressure regulator first, and now we still have to still exercise the throttle pedal in order to get it to run. And those are unusual symptoms all tied together. Anyway, open lines are available, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Don't forget that there's going to be a huge fiesta at 16th Street south of Indian School on the 28th of October, and there's going to be dancing and food. And what else can I? I can really get you in trouble with this.
You're really going to sit me here at you on this deal.
But those of you that have done business with Martin's Auto since the 50s,
Well, actually, since 1971 is when we started.
Okay, so 70. Yeah, you're 50 years.
50 years.
That's where
exactly.
I got the 50.
Yeah. Okay.
If you've done business with Martin's Auto, your dad's going to be there.
He'll be there. You bet.
And I'll bet he'll. This is what will happen because this is what happens to us old guys. Hi, my name's so-and-so, and I've done business with you for... Oh, yeah, your wife had that turquoise Thunderbird. Because your dad's going to know some of these people by the car they drove.
Oh, absolutely. That's how we knew most of our customers growing up. You know, I started in this business when I was 10 years old, and I still remember cars more... You know, when people come in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you drove this. And they're like, guys, that's great that you remember that, you know?
Yeah. The people with the 57 Chevys that you had to hunt for the gas cap behind the little lever that you turned and opened up the door on the taillight fin.
Yep.
And then all the people with the hidden gas caps on the cars, the 55, 56, 57 Chevys were all kind of tough to find.
Yep.
And that was the way we broke people in. And then the Volkswagen would pull in. And we'd say the filler's in the back. And it's not.
Oh, yeah. We used to have technicians that tell me that, you know, when we were young, he'd tell me, go put up a radiator in that VW bug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's no radiator in it.
Yeah, it's air-cooled. But
yeah. And then also he'd tell us to go put spark plugs in a diesel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Hey, go, here's three spark plugs. Go put them in. Well, these are used. Oh, that's all right. He just needs a new spark plug. So yeah. You go over there and look around, and all of them are laughing at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's easy to get even. Anyway, 602-508-0960. The lines are open. There's five of them. Dave Martin and Mark Salem here to answer your question. We'll do the best we can with you. And it's a give and take kind of thing. We ask questions and you give us answers and you tell us your make and model and this is what's going on and this is what my wife said and this is what I think. Because in reality, that's a bad thing to do because we're going to side with the wife because we're scared of her and we're not scared of you. So we're really smart when it comes to who to side with, especially if the wife is standing there, she's got her chin out and her hands are on her hips like our mothers used to do.
Yeah.
Oh, then that's right there. That's you'd look at the guy and you go, you're sunk. There ain't nobody in this room is going to be siding with you, buddy. Anyway, 602-508-0960. Mark Salem, Dave Martin. We'll be back in a minute. Twenty minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Mark Salem here every Saturday from 10 to 12 talking about car repair issues, and you're welcome to join us right now. We have four lines open because we've got Bob on one of them. The phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And Dave Martin is here from Martin's Automotive at 16th Street and Indian School, so he's flying wing, and today we're doing the best we can to guide you with your car problems. Let me talk about a shop over at 38th Avenue in Indian School that's been around during the covered wagon days, and it dates back to 1967, and that's Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Ellen handles the front, and you'll meet her when you walk in the door. Bob, and they have a nephew, runs the shop, and it's really, really a good shop. I sent them a truck a long time ago that we couldn't find or fix, and they did. And since then, I've admired their skill and their tenacity of just simply working on it till they get it and get it fixed. So I thought to myself, this is a great place to do diagnostics, but Bob says we like oil changes too. So I tell you, they do everything from electrical work, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance. But if you've got a car that honks the horn on Thursdays at 1:17 p.m., they can probably find the problem of what the why that's going on. Bob, good morning. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a question on the battery. In February, my car is going to be 5 years old, and I'm thinking of replacing the battery then. And I was also wondering, will I get a light when that voltage starts to wane a little bit?
No. No, your battery's like a light bulb. One minute she's fine, and the next minute she ain't.
Yeah.
And there's well, if you get a warning, it'll be a slow crank cold. So instead of, it'll go, and that'll be your, but 5 years, I mean, that battery doesn't owe you anything.
I know, and it's got a stop start engine in it too. On top of that, so it really.
And what brand is it? I wonder.
It's a Toyota hybrid.
Okay, all right. You're going to be able to buy the hybrid, and again, Toyota doesn't make their batteries any more than Delco or Motorcraft does. But I would probably look for a CCA rating or an amp hour rating on that stop start car, and get the highest amp hour rating. But here's something: if you want to go crazy, you go by weight of the battery, the price of the battery, and the amp hour of the battery, because the battery with the most plates wins, and its storage capability is the best. Now, I know I'm sending on a wild goose chase, but if you're that kind of a person that you want to really, really drill down to the very best battery, then weight, amp hour, and price are the three variables.
And it's got to fit.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Because Mark will send you over.
The trunk, shoulder. There ought to be room.
Yeah. Mark will send you in there and you can get the biggest battery you can find and you don't have to put it in the front seat.
I put two or three of them in there. You know, there's going to be some extra charges from cables, but I'm going to get them in there. No, you'll be all right. But 5 years, that's really pretty good. How many miles are on it?
I presume I'm going to have around 37,000 miles on it in February.
Okay, all right. Well, that's great.
That's when the next service is due.
So you really like this? This is done well
I do
for
like
you.
The car, yes.
Okay, all right.
Took a little while to get used to driving it. When you drive them, they feel heavy.
And I agree. I'll tell you, the first time I did a start-stop, I was on my way to the a television station on TV3 on 7th Street. And I had picked up it from General Motors from a GM store, and I was driving it down there. And when that thing died at the intersection, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to do. I was just, I'm going, well, first of all, I'm going to be late. Second of all, they're going to be mad because I'm not bringing the truck with me. And third of all, they're going to say, where's the truck? I'm going to say, it's in the middle of the street over there. But it was really an interesting, but at the end of the day, back then, we were worried about the starter's life. And today, we know that that is not even an issue.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing the technology and the things that they've done. But you pull up next to a stoplight and you hear a car next to you, you hear it shut off.
Yeah.
You hear it go to take off, you hear the starter kick back in. It's great.
Yeah.
Can't
hear it inside.
Yeah. No, that's true.
The guy next to you can, though.
That's good. I don't know that.
Yeah, and that's right. Who cares? Yeah, who cares? Hey, they don't care when they pull up next to you at an intersection and they set off your alarm system as you're sitting there waiting for the light to go red because their stereo's so loud.
Yeah, the boom box in the back.
Yeah, they don't care. Anyway, thanks, Bob. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
We've never had that question before. Okay, automatic transmission exchange, Phil. Phil has been him and Barney Rubble. And Fred Flintstone were buddies. That's how far back he goes. Phil was there when the rubble cars, had stone wheels and bodies, and the body was made up from a tree trunk, if you remember that.
Yes, I do remember that.
That's how long Phil's been in the transmission business at Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington. He's been around a long time. And all we've done is we've changed the transmission inputs and outputs. So in the olden days, the throttle was a big deal. And then we went to some electronics. And then we went to engine load. And then we went to engine speed. And then we went to a bunch of stuff. And today, the newer transmissions are complete electronic. They monitor every aspect of the car. And when you stuff it to the floor, you're telling it to get up and go. And Phil can help you with that. So that's Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington. And we have a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Ron.
Ron, good morning.
Good morning. I got a question for you.
Okay.
I've just got a 50 Mercury with a flathead.
Okay.
And the last two owners had always used non-detergent oil. Is that what I should stay with?
Let me explain. First of all, finding non-detergent oil would be kind of hard. Does it have a filter on it?
Yes.
Okay. Non-detergent oil allows the trash to be fall to the bottom of the oil pan, because a non-detergent oil, they talk about, has no cleaning capabilities.
Right.
A regular oil will hold the dirt, the piece of soot, the little drop of gasoline in suspension, so the next time that gulp of oil goes through the filter, we capture it. So I'm telling you unequivocally, of all the cars we work on, and we work on a lot of old cars that originally came out with non-detergent oil, I don't stock with non-detergent, and I'm going to use it. Now, the detergent part of it, again, is this holds the trash in suspension. That's a good thing. We don't want all that trash in the bottom of the pan. So,
would we be generating it back up again by changing the oil to a detergent oil?
Well, no, it only holds it in suspension. The mat of trash you have at the bottom of the pan is going to stay there.
Okay.
This is trash that's circulating within the oil.
Okay.
And so, no, the protection you're going to get from a newer oil for that car is 100 times better than what the oil came with in that car. You're going to be stepping up. I wouldn't be surprised if the first time you take a long drive, as you get out, you're going to feel somebody kiss you on the cheek, and it's going to be the motor saying thank you. That's how sure I am. Or it's going to be your girlfriend or your wife, one or the other. I don't know which one.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
you
it.
You betcha. Detergent. The thing I don't say as much as I should is everything is forward compatible.
Yes.
Everything is forward compatible.
Yeah.
Tires and batteries and oil and brake fluid and everything is forward compatible. Spark plugs. So no matter what we had last 100 years ago, it's been improved. Windshield wiper blades. You wouldn't go find the old ANCO windshield wiper blades compared to the new flippers that we have now.
Yeah.
So everything is forward compatible, and we should also move forward with that.
Okay.
We don't want to buy the gasoline that we had in the 50s and the 60s because it wasn't filtered very good, and it didn't have a whole lot of octane, and it was pretty dirty. Today, with the filters that we have with the fuel-injected cars, they are removing trash that you can't even see out of the gasoline.
I think people sometimes just look at the cost of it, and sometimes it's a little bit more, and I think sometimes they figure that they want to, you know, stick with what was in there from original because it's cheaper, number one, and they're stuck on that. You know, they're stuck on what it originally took.
And that's right, but the car doesn't have a brain, and it's not going to love you, and it doesn't know the difference
right.
whether you put horse pee in there or if you put 10 weight in there. It doesn't make any difference. It's not going to know the difference, so you don't have to worry about your car trashing itself because right. it's mad at you. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We have 5 open lines available. If you're thinking about calling in and you want to ask a car-related question, now is the time. 602-508-0960. You're listening to 960 The Patriot, KKNT. No matter how you're getting us, you're listening to the 960 The Patriot. And our phone number is 602-508-0960. If you're outside the Phoenix Metropolitan area, then 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. That's toll free outside of Phoenix area. Dave Martin's here from Martin's Auto. He's on 16th Street and just south of Indian School and
yep.
been around a long time. And you're getting ready to celebrate 50 years.
Yep.
And you're going to have a big fiesta.
Yep.
Just give me a quick snapshot of
okay.
the fiesta.
October, it's a Thursday, October 28th, it's 11:30 to 1:30. We're going to have some food there, we're going to have a live band there, we're going to have some giveaway prizes, some drawing stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to it, and we just want to celebrate with our customers 50 years. You know, we've been blessed to be in that area for 50 years, and we've had great support from the community. We give back to the community as much as we can. And we just love the community that we're in, and we want to celebrate with them and let them know how much we appreciate them.
Okay, I have a suggestion to make. No one's going to hear this, okay? Okay, but listen. I think you should have like a gift certificate.
Mm-hmm.
You pick the number. For the customer that shows up, because all your customers are numbered in your database.
Right.
So for us, we're at like 38,000. So if somebody came in with an 1,100 number, they'd win.
Yeah.
But although we have some three-digit customers that are still with us. So, fine. Just tell them. With your permission.
Yeah.
No one can hear us talking right now. but if you say the oldest customer that comes in, we have a gift certificate for X amount of dollars, then people will come in to find out where they stand with respect to the hierarchy and the customer list that you have.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good idea.
Go ahead and give it out.
Okay,
it needs to come from your mouth, not mine.
we'll definitely do that. That's a great idea. The customer that's been with us the longest,
mm-hmm.
Will win a $250 gift certificate.
Good. And they can spend it anywhere
yeah.
or just at your place. Which one?
You know what? It'll be at my place.
Okay. Okay, fine.
Because they've been my customer for a long, long time, and I want to give them something.
And back. You can carry that credit forward if it takes them 2 or 3 years to clean.
Doesn't matter.
But basically, they're getting car repair.
Yeah.
Okay. I copy that from somebody else. I don't come up with that kind of crap in my head.
That's really a great idea. You know, that was something that I never really thought of. So thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm definitely going to do that.
Well, in our database, we have customers that we've highlighted that have two-digit numbers out of 38,000.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when there's one lady, when she comes in, whatever she wants, she gets. Yeah. You know what I mean? She wants to ride home. She wants us to go get her lunch, whatever. She's been around.
Yeah. We got customers like that too. And you're 100% right. Whatever they want, yeah. They come to the dorm, whatever they want, they get it.
And it's because they've been with us for so long. It's different than having somebody walk in today.
Totally.
Okay. We have a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say hello to Mike.
Mike, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. We're good. We're in good shape, and our wives still love us, and neither then the police are not outside the lobby waiting to arrest us, so we're in good shape.
You're having a good day, then.
That's positive, Mark.
Yeah. With radio, you have to draw pictures with your mouth, and so I'm trying to do that. But anyway, Mike, you got a Ford, right?
I do have a Ford. How'd you know that?
Well, we haven't had a Ford question all day long today, so I was just guessing that we had to have one sooner or later.
Somebody's got to make Mark mad.
Exactly. No. All right, we're all ears. Give it to us.
I bought my first new vehicle in 2019. It's a Ford Ranger.
Okay.
And it has the four-cylinder EcoBoost motor in it. And okay. I believe it's a GDI motor. Can you tell me what I need to do to keep this thing running ship shape? Because I believe the injectors are not on the top valve side of the engine. Is that right?
I don't know. Is this gas or diesel?
It's gas. It's a GDI, gas direct injection.
It is. Okay. Yeah, I think it is GDI.
Okay. So it's injecting the fuel directly into the cylinder.
Yeah, not on top of the valve.
Not behind the valve.
Or not behind
the valve. Yeah, not behind the valve. I'll answer your question. Change your oil as you should and drive it like you stole it on a 1 to 10 scale. Don't go up there and drive it like an 8, a 9, or 10, but just drive it. Just drive it. Enjoy it. Don't baby it. And short trips and long time between full heat cycles is going to be your enemy. So if you live 30 miles from home, from work, that's really, really good. That truck will love you.
Okay, sounds good.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Our customers, the short trippers that just go to the post office, just go to, you know, the Safeway, just go to the stores and stuff like that, and they got a mile, mile and a half, 2 miles, 3 miles, even 4 miles, 5 miles away and then back. I often thought if I could instill upon people the importance of driving the car through a heat cycle, that I would hire some kids with good driving records and have them come here and take the car 50 miles down to Casa Grande, turn around and come back 50 miles and put 100 miles of highway speeds on them. But I think the risk overcomes the reward.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, we lose a car or lose a motor because somebody's being stupid, then all of a sudden
they get stuck in traffic or whatever, and, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean there's a wreck on the side of the road and everybody's, you know, stopped. I mean, I when I was coming out here, the freeway was backed up, and, yeah, it was stop-and-go traffic, so it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to get it through its cycle, but you definitely I know that they've had a lot more problems with the GDI from doing the short trips and what you're talking about.
And when we put the injector in the combustion chamber, are we putting it in the air system? And that comes through the intake valve. So right. We have it's direct injection. We have the explosion. We have the tip of the injector exposed to the explosion.
Right.
And we've never had that before. And so that's been kind of difficult.
Yep.
And so we don't really know the long-term effects, but I'm thinking it's going to be soot. I'm thinking it's going to be temperature. I think it's going to be, and I think you'll agree, and I think anybody that works on cars for a living agrees, that the short trippers are going to have problems where the long trippers don't. You want somebody to drive 10, 15 miles or more to work, that car is probably going to last a lot longer than the person who's a half a mile from work.
Well, you definitely have less problems, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's a nice way to put it. All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. There's five lines, and they're wide open. And say hello to Gil. He'll be the one to answer, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Is that right? Yeah, I know that. But you know what happened? Is I pushed on my computer P, and it sent me on the time to PPT French Polynesian Now.
We're in a different time zone.
Yeah, we are in a different time zone than anybody else is. I can tell, Mark is. Ooh, la la. So it's 11:45 right now, and I'm going to click Los Angeles and move me back to 11:45. Is that right, Gil? Okay. Oh, gosh.
Thank God for Gil, right?
Thank God for Gil. He can fix things. He can fix things over the phone. I can't even ask. And I did. I pushed P because I always usually push pause to pause the tape.
Oh, yeah. I saw you doing that, and I didn't realize it changed the time, though.
Yeah, yeah.
When you said 8 o'clock, I looked at my clock.
Well, and see, that's what – so everybody knows. I'm a remote. I'm sitting in our shop in Tempe right now with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm using one of the service writer's computers. I've logged into the internet on the wall, and so I'm doing a radio show from this desk.
Yeah.
Well, I usually, the top half of the screen has Odyssey, which is a sound software that I tape the whole show. And so then I pee for pause at the end of the break so that I don't tape the commercials. And then I push pee again. Well, I have that habit of pushing pee, but I'm not taping because I told Gil, you tape it and send it to me.
But I mean, you've been doing this radio thing a long time, Mark. Mm-hmm. And now you're able to do, I know you used to do it from your studio or from the studio at the radio show or at your studio at your shop, but you had that all set up in one place.
Right.
But now you have the ability to do it from everywhere. And when you called me that one day and told me, hey, I can do this from anywhere. You know, you meet me anywhere and we can do this. And I just thought it was really, really cool. And the technology that's even gone into this little box that does this radio show, it's amazing.
How big is that? Is that as big as your hand?
Yeah, about as big as your hand, right?
This thing has IP. It has telephone. It has Wi-Fi. It has everything. This little bitty box,
yeah.
I can go anywhere I want and do this show. As long as I have a clock that works.
yeah, and you don't push P.
Yeah, for Polynesian. Okay. Paul. Let's go to Paul.
All right, there you go. It starts with a P.
A P. That's what I should have done at the beginning. Paul, how can we help you, buddy?
Oh, Mark, can you transport me to that time zone you were in?
You know, you would be second because I would be first.
Well, he'd be really third because I'm there with you.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, you would be third. Anyway, we're all ears, buddy.
Okay, 2013 Jeep Wrangler. It's my niece's. And about a month ago, check engine light came on, and she needed to go to work. Her dad called me up and asked me if I could look at it, and I used a card reader or code reader to read the code, and it was a evaporative ignition control system leak, very small.
Okay.
So I said, I think you can drive to work okay, and I took and cranked on the gas cap and cleared the code, and now a month later it's come back on again. So is it worth, like, just replacing the gas cap, or should we just go ahead and take it somewhere and have it looked at?
You know, everybody's going to do the gas cap at the first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a standard thing. Even we do that and just say, hey, let's try that first. But this is going to be a solenoid. This is going to be a broken small vacuum line. This is going to be something in the system. And when this solenoid closes, the computer expects it to hold pressure, and it's not. And after it sees that happen 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, then it's going to turn on the light. However, she could drive. I mean, you can drive this thing with a check engine and an evap code on it, and it ain't going to hurt it. You're going to have to just get it cleared up a month before you have to go through your next emissions test. And so it's not anything that's going to break her down, I promise you that.
No.
Well, can we go ahead and have it looked at?
Yeah, and I think Dave will agree with me. We're going to use a smoke machine.
Yep.
We have this machine that makes dense white smoke. And so we plug it into the system, and we start looking for leaks, and then we start activating, and we have our scanner, and we tell the scanner, let's go to level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. And we got guys. Now, this is where people don't really understand. We've got 4 guys around the car, and the shop rate's $150 an hour. And one guy's inside the car, and so you have effectively $1,000 worth of labor standing there while you look. But in reality, the time to start and find it is 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
So one way or another, even if you bill it out that way, it's a reasonable amount of money. But, yeah, if you want the peace of mind, go ahead and have it fixed. I don't know what it is, but this isn't going to be a break-the-bank bill.
Okay, great. Can I ask a couple of questions about my truck?
Go, sure.
Okay, it's a 2003 Chevy Silverado. It's got 230,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And it doesn't fit in my garage all the way so that I can shut the garage door. how much harm am I doing it by getting up in the morning, pulling it in the garage, and then sometime during the day I drive at least probably 15 miles. So is that, you know, hurting it to just start it up long enough to pull it in the garage?
It's not doing it any good. All you're doing when you start it up, it's running a little rich because it's cold. So the injectors, instead of going psst, psst, they're going like fire hoses. Psst, psst. So you're contaminating the oil with gasoline. I wouldn't move it. I'd leave it alone.
Or build a bigger garage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Have her get her junk out of the garage so you can park diagonally or something.
The garage is just too short.
Well, okay. I think you need a bigger garage. Yeah. I think that's what I'm going for.
And you can do that by putting the front bumper against the front wall and just kind of put it in drive and give it a little gas. Your answer to your question is I don't like the idea that you're moving it around without exercising it. You're taking the horse out of the stall. You're walking him over here and putting him back in the stall. I don't like that. I think in the long, long, long run, that might come back to bite you. So I just leave it alone.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And the other question about it, the plenum chamber in front of the windshield. There are two flapper valves, one on each side of it, down by the fender.
Okay.
And both of those are, you know, the flapper part fell off long at some point. The one on the driver's side, I can reach down there and change real easy, and it's not expensive. The one on the passenger side, there's not enough room between where it is and the fender to get it out. What would I notice if I actually went ahead and replaced both sides? Anything?
Well, we're both sitting here with confused looks on our face. We don't know what you're talking about. Is this something that in the climate control of your truck, you have outside air and inside air? Are these flaps associated with that? And if they are, they have to be motor driven.
No. It's just the plenum thing, and it's just airflow that moves it. It's one on each side of that plenum chamber that's under the front of the windshield, like I guess where it drains off the windshield down in there.
Okay. Yeah, we're both.
What year is this truck?
2003.
2003.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm confused.
If you're draining the water and the leaves and stuff off of the area where the windshield wipers are positioned, and this is going down on the driver's side or on the passenger side, and there has to do something with these flaps that you're talking about, neither one of us have ever dealt with anything related to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is. Take it to a shop and say, look at these. Tell me what these are.
Yeah.
And if they're one-way gates where trash and water can get out, but then they close to keep rodents from getting in, that could very well be what they are.
Yeah.
And then you can decide what to do. But I got to run. But anyway, thank you, Paul. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. You're always welcome to send me an email, mark with a K, at marksalem, like the cigarette, .com. Salem like the cigarette, .com. Speaking of people in our industry, I've got to talk about two of them, Blackwell. That's all I'm going to talk about. Blackwell's at 40th and Greenway. Him and I are really good friends. We're both ornery as all hell. We've both been in the business a very, very long time. And we talk on a regular basis. And not too long ago, he was in trouble with his wife. And I just had the most great day in the world knowing that Polly was chewing on his tail end all day long. But by the same token, they had diagnosed something on a car that the part was no longer available. And I always brag to him about our parts department, so he calls me up and he goes, okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, see if you can find this. Well, we did find that. And we found a place in Florida that rebuilds these things for $750, plus, I think it was $750, plus $80 in freight, plus a couple of other things. So I said, it's a flip of a coin whether they're going to do a good job. And he goes, no, I already looked at them, and their ratings are really good. So we do ratings like everybody else does.
Absolutely.
And so at the end of the day, the car, I guess, was fixed, and everybody was happy. But my parts store trumped his. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, Blackwell's the only place up in that northeast area that I can recommend to you, 40th Street and Greenway. There's lots of shops up there, but they have to pass a pretty tight filter for Mark Salem, and Blackwell's the only one that's done that. I want to just talk about another, and then I'm going to take the call. Kurtz Auto is at I-17 in Bell. I've known Kurtz for a very long time. He's had his doors open since 1987. Between Kurtz and his staff, they have a magic wand. They won't let me see it, but I can tell you this much. They fixed cars that nobody else can. But they also are a family-owned and operated business, and they do oil changes, and they replace windshield wipers for elderly people and all that other stuff. But when it comes to I've got a problem, Kurtz at I-17 in Bell is a great place to go. And we'll go to the caller. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Harold.
Harold, how are you?
Oh, hi, Mark. Hey, if I may, I have a couple of subjects that I'd like to recommend to you that you might want to cover on future shows.
Okay, you got 2 minutes, so go right ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, one subject is the potential of buying a flood-damaged automobile in Arizona. A week ago, your station has a morning show on related to cars. I don't know the name of it. But the person on the show, the host, talked very briefly about things a buyer should do in terms of not only tests of and inspections of a vehicle, but also a paperwork trail review. And okay. I think that might be helpful to your listeners if Arizona is indeed a dumping ground for these vehicles.
Arizona is a dumping ground for the vehicles.
That's one subject. The other subject I have is we keep hearing about this so-called shortages of cars, which is making prices go higher and higher, used and new. And I really wonder how much of this is serious and how much of it is contrived. The reason I bring this up is my daughter went shopping for a new Hyundai a month or so ago, and there were all kinds of cars available at the dealership, all models used and new.
Yeah.
And so
I got what you're saying. Let me comment real quick. As far as the cars are concerned, I'm not quite sure it's this car shortages as much as it is car parts shortages. We are having a tough time with car parts. Once you get a part number, you can Google the part number within certain websites that we have access to. And if anybody in the world has it, they'll tell you. So I don't know about whether we're short on new Chevys, Fords, Hondas, Toyotas, Hyundais, whatever. I'm not sure about that. But car parts. Now, on the Internet, they've been showing all these boats that are offshore that are loaded up with containers. It takes 3 weeks to unload one boat. There's lots of car parts on that boat. Yeah. So hopefully, if there is a new car shortage, it's because we don't have the parts to build the new car.
There's a chip shortage on some of the trucks. I got some of my customers that are looking to buy a new truck, and it's taking longer to get the truck because of this chip shortage. So that is a problem.
Okay.
But it's certain vehicles that are having bigger problems than other vehicles.
Yeah. It's pretty much we have shortages across the board. You can go into Home Depot and Lowe's and the drugstores and they have it. Dave, thanks for spending Saturday with me. October 28th from 11:30 to 1:30. 16th Street south of Indian School is a big fiesta. It's a 50-year anniversary. You're going to have your dad there. I'm going to see what my calendar looks like because I would like to surprise your dad.
I would sneak up
behind him and hug him and give him a kiss. And he's likely to punch the dog out of me, but that's okay. Anyway, Mark at MarkSalem.com. Mark@MarkSalem.com, and we'll see you here next Saturday right here on 960 The Patriot. We're here from 10 to 12 talking about cars. You're welcome to join us.